This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Welcome to this Stockbox interview where Mike Rolston, the CEO of Blenco Resources, joins us today. Hello, Mike.
Thank you very much for having me.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. So, Mike, the company released an RNS yesterday, an update on all the progress made to date on the Oram Cross graphite project in Uganda. Now, Blenco, being a relatively young company listed during 2019, you said in the RNS the company's prospectus prior to listing was to fast-track value creation with the project. So before we get into how you're following through on this, I think it's worth just setting the scene a little and explaining the Oram Cross project a little bit. I understand it's quite a significant project.
Yes, Oram Cross is a large-scale graphite project in northern Uganda. We picked this project up last year as an option. We did a lot of due diligence on it to ensure that it had the qualities we were seeking. And we put the whole project acquisition together and completed it in April this year. It's a significant graphite project in terms of world size and scale, and we believe it has the potential to be one of the more substantial graphite projects worldwide going forward. So we wanted to ensure that we dotted I's and crossed T's, and the acquisition completed in April, and we've been working on it ever since.
Okay, and what did you like about the project?
Well, it has a number of key attributes. As I said, size and scale. It's got somewhere between 2 to 3 billion tons of graphite, which is large. Most of that sits pretty close to surface, which means that operating costs, mining costs will be low. We've done a first stage of metallurgical test work, and it seems to indicate that we've got the ability to upgrade it into a very high-grade concentrate with good qualities such as low impurities, a large flake graphite size. And I think key to all of this, it's in what we consider to be one of the safest locations in Africa, which is Uganda, which is an English-speaking country, a very safe location in terms of developing a large-scale, long-life project. So these are some of the attributes. There are many more, but I think these are the highlights.
Okay, so go on then, Mike. Bring us up to speed. What value creation activities were planned, and how are they progressing?
Well, we always knew that we had to hit the ground running fast. So we started work, I guess, prior to the acquisition completing so that we'd be able to move very quickly once it did complete. And we raised £2 million in London on the market together with our brokers there. In April, we brought the asset in. We planned a JORC drilling program to deliver a maiden resource, which started in March prior to the acquisition being completed, and had to go through the normal 30 to 40 day hiatus when COVID came along. But we managed to get the project drilling restarted again in May. And we've executed and completed that ever since. We found a high-grade lode of graphite near to where we were drilling, so we incorporated that into the overall drilling program. And ultimately, over the last couple of months, we've not only added these new holes, but we've completed a 65-hole, 2,000-meter drilling program, which has all samples ready to go off to the labs in order to complete that JORC resource over the next couple of months on the one hand, and in parallel we'll be doing further metallurgical test work to try and understand better what the final product's going to look like. So that's quite a lot of work completed over a short period of time, and I think it indicates that we are serious about this asset and we want to add value as quickly as we possibly can.
Okay, and are you pleased with the progress so far and what you're seeing?
Absolutely. I was there myself in March, just prior to the COVID lockdowns, and the project looks very, very good on the ground. The quality of the graphite, the flake sizes, everything about it looks good. I definitely think we've got something of great value here, and we've just got to go through the phases and make sure that we do it properly. The temptation is to literally charge through to the finishing line and not do it properly, so we need to do it according to the right way, which starts off with a JORC resource, met test work, and ultimately to move into a feasibility study thereafter.
Okay. And how are you coping with COVID? Did that affect operations at all?
Well, it did. I don't think there's many places which COVID haven't impacted. As I said before, we had to stop our drilling operation literally halfway through, which is never easy when you've got mobilization, demob going on. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, we managed to get sufficient passes to be able to get the crew out there again in late May. And we've got a very good local partner in terms of in-country drilling program, and they've managed to get going and complete the program ever since. So we're comfortable in terms of what's happening on the ground. And as I said, it's a good location to be developing a project.
Okay, good. Now, you mentioned large flake graphite, and I've heard that a lot on your website. Can you explain what it is and why is it so desirable?
Well, graphite flake sizes vary between small, right the way through medium to large, and ultimately to jumbo sizes. They are all different in terms of their qualities, and ultimately they can be different in terms of what they're used for. Typically, and I don't want to generalize too much, but because there's about 150 different applications for graphite, but typically the smaller fines goes into the electric vehicle market in terms of anode manufacturing for batteries, lithium-ion batteries, that is. And when you start getting into the larger flakes and the jumbo flakes, it starts going into the expandables market, which is really where you're using the size of the flake itself in order to use the heat properties and line steel mills and things like that. So because it's rarer and because of the usage, these particular flakes, these larger flakes, go for a much higher price or sell for a higher price, and obviously are therefore more desirable.
Okay, I see. And on Uganda, you said it was a very good jurisdiction to work in. Maybe just can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your experiences you've had in Africa or similar jurisdictions before?
Yeah, you can probably tell from my accent that I am from Africa. Mm-hmm. I originated in Zimbabwe and did a lot of work in Africa across my years. I worked in East Africa and Kenya for about 5 years, developing a project over there as well. So I know Africa very well. I'm comfortable to work there. Our COO, Ian Waring, has done a lot of work in Africa as well, and he's done a lot of feasibility studies on mining projects across Africa. So we're comfortable there. Uganda itself, in my opinion, East Africa as a whole is one of the best locations to develop any projects or any businesses, because they are very open for investment. They've got the right regimes, both in terms of government and in terms of overall structures and taxes, etc. And at the end of the day, one needs to develop in an area where you feel comfortable for the long term, because mm-hmm. if you're obviously going to invest a lot of time, effort, and resources into developing a project, you want to know that it's going to be around and the ability to mine it, to develop value over the long haul. So Uganda's definitely one of those few African countries that we feel entirely comfortable with. And we're definitely happy to be there for the long term.
Okay, great. Now, Blencow has the one project, the Orem Cross project. Are there any plans to add something else to the mix, or are you fairly happy with just Orem Cross?
Not at the moment. Who knows, going forward, anything's possible. There's definitely opportunities around, and we'll look at everything that comes our way. But at the moment, we've got ourselves something which is significantly valuable. We know that the job at hand is to develop that value, to add value, and to go about our business. As I said before, put a JORC resource on it, get this met test work done, and ultimately get a feasibility study together that can provide evidence of what the commercial value of this project looks like. So for now, that's enough. We obviously want to concentrate our efforts, our resources, our people to getting the value on the project we've got. But it doesn't stop us from looking at other things ahead.
Okay, perfect. So going forward then for the company, you'll be working on the JORC and the feasibility study. Are you well financed to continue that? And when can we perhaps expect to see some more developments?
We are financed for that at the moment. We're comfortable. Most of the money that we've raised has gone into this extensive drilling program, some of it obviously into the met test work and other things. We keep a pretty tight ship in terms of our corporate costs, so very little of that money is being spent on the corporate side of the business. I think our view is that most of it needs to go into the ground to add that value. We have those milestones that I've set, the JORC resource definitely by the end of this calendar year, met test work at the same time, and both of those will be key to us stepping forward into 2021 for a feasibility study. At some stage then we're going to have to raise a little bit more money, obviously, to expand the value and to do further work, but for now we're funded in terms of what we need.
Great. Well, Mike, thank you very much for talking to us, and hopefully we can catch up further down the line.
Great, Mark. Thank you very much. And let's keep watching this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching @StockboxMedia.